So today, the title of my sermon is called, What Are You Doing with the Gifts and the Talents of God? What are you doing with the gifts and the talents of God? So we have been going over Matthew 24 and 25, the last day sermon, really, that Jesus taught, the events that would be coming to pass before his return. And so it's interesting how Christ, he connects all of these events and parables and illustrations in Matthew 24 and 25. He puts them all together to give us a big picture of what life and relationship with him and others should be as we wait on the return of Jesus Christ. So he puts all of these events and parables together. Remember, chapters were added later. So this is actually a dialogue that he's having with his apostles, his disciples, his followers. They asked him, what will it be like before the return of Christ? And he was giving them what the world would be like, how nature would be, all the events that would be happening before the return of Jesus. And then he gives parables and illustrations because he wants everybody to understand it in a way that they can receive it. So I love that about Jesus. I find myself doing the same thing. My children will often tell me, Mom, you've said the same thing five times, but in five different ways. And it's because all of my children are different. One learns by just talking to them. She learns that way by dialogue. Another one learns by hands-on. I have to experience that. Another one learns, in another form. So God brings it to us in a way. This is how beautiful God is. He wants us all to understand what he's talking about. And he gives it to us in a way that we can understand. So out of what we've already read so far, here's some things, that little points that I want to go over that we've already discussed. First of all, number one, he gives us the events that will be taking place upon the earth and upon his people, upon the people of the earth before he returns. That's one of the things that he shows us in Matthew 24 and 25. Number two, he gives us a picture of how our lives should be filled with the Holy Spirit continually out of a relationship with him. We must always be filled with the Spirit and have a continual relationship with God until the end. Jesus said, those that persevere until the end will be saved. He gave us the analogy of the 10 virgins, five with oil and five who didn't have extra oil. Both of them, those groups, the 10 as a total, both of them fell asleep as the Lord delayed his coming. But when the bridegroom gave the announcement, there were five that had extra oil. And because they had forethought and said, I'm with God till the long haul. I'm going to develop a relationship with him. I'm going to have extra oil, the Holy Spirit inside of me, and I'm going to persevere all the way to the end. They had forethought. Then they were able to go into the bride chamber. But the others, they were out running around at the last minute trying to get what they should have had already. And they were closed out, shut out forever from the wedding supper of the Lamb. And so that's very important. That's the parable of the 10 virgins. Five were foolish, five were wise. And number three, he moves on to cause us to examine our lives by saying to us, and this is what we're going to be going over today, what are you doing with the gifts and the abilities that I gave you in the Holy Spirit? What are you doing with the gifts and the abilities that I gave you in the Holy Spirit? And then he finishes up in this same, in chapter 25, these are both out of chapter 25, he finishes up with a powerful illustration of those who either did obey the Spirit or give to others out of a pure heart, or those who did not give, who refused to use their life for the glory of God, hid their talents, their gifts, and did not use them to benefit the kingdom of God or the king. And so he told us that the impact in which we live in a relationship with God or out of a relationship with God would affect our eternal outcome. It would affect our eternal outcome. Relationship with God is what brings us into the purposes of God's heart. That's why Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Father, I pray that they will know God, that they will have the revelation to know God and the purposes to which they have been called. And so Jesus, that was from the Apostle Paul that prayed that in Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. So what is he doing? He's reiterating the same principles back in Matthew 24 and 25. And he's saying the same thing that Jesus prayed. What are you doing with this relationship that you have with God? And what are you doing to help other people and fulfill the purpose to which I placed you on the earth for? So as we get ready to go in deep with this, we want to really have an understanding that we're here to know God, but we're also here to fulfill purpose. And so this goes together. Chapter 24, the events leading up to the return of Christ, how we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how we're supposed to be always ready and looking for the return of Christ. And so when we get to Matthew 25, we're going to read Matthew 25, 13 through the end of the chapter. I feel like I'm going to read through the end of the chapter because it's connected together in what they do. But we may not get all the way through the chapter. We may just get through part of it. So I'm going to go ahead and read. So if you'll open your Bible or pull out your phone and pull to the text of Matthew 25, we're going to start in verse 13. Watch therefore, give strict attention and be cautious and active, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come. For it is like a man who is about to take a long journey, and he called his servants together and entrusted them with his property. And to one he gave 5 talents, which is probably about $5,000, and to another 2, to another 1, to each in proportion to his own personal ability. Then he departed and left the country. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he gained 5 talents more. And likewise, he who had received the 2 talents, he also gained 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came and brought him 5 more, saying, Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See here, I have gained 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, you upright, honorable, and noble, faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of much. Enter into the share, the joy, the delight, and the blessedness which your master enjoys. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. Here, I have gained 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, you upright, honorable, faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of much. Enter into the share, the joy, the delight which your master enjoys. He who had received 1 talent also came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be harsh. You were harsh and you're a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gather where you had not winnowed the grain. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is your own. But his master answered him, You wicked and lazy and idle servant, did you indeed know that I reap where I have not sowed and gathered grain where I have not winnowed? Then you should have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will be furnished richly so that he will have an abundance. but from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. And throw that good-for-nothing servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, his majesty and splendor, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them, the people, from one another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. And he will cause the sheep to stand at his right hand, but the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, you favored of God and appointed to eternal salvation. Inherit, receive as your own the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you brought me together with yourself and welcomed and entertained and lodged me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me with help and ministering to my care. I was in prison, and you came to see me. Then the just and upright will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome and entertain you, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and came to visit you? And the king will reply to them, truly I tell you, in so far as you did it to for one of the least of the estimation of men, of these my brethren, you did it for me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, be gone from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me and entertain me. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me with help and ministering care. Then they also, in their turn, will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will reply to them, solemnly I declare to you, in so far as you failed to do it to the least in the estimation of men, of these you failed to do it for me. Then they will go away into eternal punishment. But those who are just and upright and in right standing with God, into eternal life. Blessed is the reading of God's word. It is powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide soul and spirit. So in this parable that we have here, Jesus repeats the warnings that he has given in chapter 24. And he says from the very beginning, watch. Now, anytime a phrase like that is repeated over and over again, he is trying to get your attention. He's trying to emphasize things that are very, very important. So when he says to you, watch therefore, give strict attention, be cautious and active, for you neither know the day or the hour when the Son of Man comes. He has said this in chapters 24 and 25 over and over again. So he's trying to get our attention. He's coming at a time when we least expect it. He's coming at a time when people will not expecting his return. And that's why he's saying it's so important for you. No man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will return. You can see signs. You can see signs in the earth. You can see signs in the church. You can see signs, and he's mentioned those signs. You're going to have natural signs in the heavens and in the earth. You're going to have a great falling away that's going to take place. People are going to leave their faith. They're going to renounce their faith, and they're going to go into the world. When the shakings are happening, when the things that are going on, he says there's going to be signs and many different diverse things that are going to be taking place. So we have the ability to acknowledge that the signs of the time and be able to see them. And that kind of lets us know, yes, the Lord is coming back. He's returning. We may not know specifically the day or specifically the hour, but we do know that these signs are pointing to the return of Jesus Christ. So another emphasis that he mentions in his word is that the journey is long. The time is delayed for him coming back. And we've talked about that, how Peter mentioned that he's delaying because he wants people to be saved. He wants people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's giving people time to repent of their sins, time to turn away from their carnal ways, time to re-examine their life and say, I need to get my heart right with the Lord. He's a merciful God, not wanting anyone to perish. We know that because he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him, I mean commit to him, adhere to him, trust him, follow him, acknowledge that he is God in the flesh, and turn their life over to Christ. He said, I'm telling you that I am coming to bring salvation to all of those who will come to me in that way. He wants people to be saved. He wants people to come to him. He wants them to be with him in eternity. We are not people of this earth. We are pilgrims. The Bible has said that over and over and over again. And we talked about that last week. Whenever we sink our roots too deep in this earth, the Lord will remind us through the shakings and the things that are going on around us, this is not our home. He put eternity in our hearts. We know that there is a king and there is a kingdom, and it is not of this world. The journey's delayed, and there's a long period of time before the Lord returns, and that's why he says you've got to be awake, you've got to be alert, and you need to be doing what the Father has called you to do. While he's away, while he's on this long journey, he calls his servants together and he entrusts them with things, with gifts, with callings. Some scholars say with resources. Some say with gifts of the Holy Spirit, talents and gifts. But I believe our whole life is to be presented to the Lord, and we're supposed to use our whole life to follow him. So here is our life. He gave gifts unto men. When the Bible says when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. And we talk a lot about the ministry of the Holy Spirit here. And we talk a lot about the functions of those gifts, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and what we are to be doing with the gifts that God has given us. Not to let them stay dormant inside of us, but to use them for the benefit of the people. And the church has gotten away from allowing the gifts of the Holy Spirit to function. They're embarrassed of the Holy Spirit. They're embarrassed at the way the Holy Spirit moves. They've gotten so full of natural knowledge that they've eliminated the supernatural power of God. And let me just say to you that salvation comes through faith. It is not always something you can see. There are a lot of people that have never seen Jesus face to face, but they believe in him by the supernatural power of saving grace and faith, great faith. So he gave gifts, talents to his people. He entrusted them to do the work of ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he gave in proportion to their abilities, to the ability that he gave you. Then you are responsible for what he gave you. So he gave you the gifts and in proportion to the abilities that you were going to be able to accomplish through the power of the Holy Spirit and through your natural person. So not only are you flowing in the, it takes both, right? It takes your physical body to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and do the will of God. So he says he went on this long journey and he entrusted to his servants talents. He entrusted one, about 5,000, to another he trusted two, and to another he trusted one. And he's so fair because he did this in proportion to what they were able to handle, to what they were able to have and then multiply. That's why it's so dangerous to compare yourself with another person. There's been a lot of that in the church world. I had a dream one time, and in this dream, I had a tape measure. And I was measuring myself. I was measuring. And this tape measure, it was coming out of my nose. It was like this, it just continued coming. It was the measuring line. And in this dream, the tape measure turned into a snake, and it bit me. And the Lord said, you cannot measure yourself with other people. I've given each person a measure of my spirit, each person a gift and a talent. Each person is called, and you're responsible only for the gifts and the talents and the abilities and the resources that God gave you. I'm not responsible for another man's talent. I'm responsible for the talent and the gift that God has given me. And to measure yourself against another person, that's happened a lot in the church. God's dealing with it right now. Because I tell you, in this hour, we have said to other people, and it was said even amongst the church and pastors, if your church doesn't have 5,000 members, if you don't have tons of money in your church, if you're not on television, or if you're not doing this and that, then you're not attaining to the purposes of God. That is not true. It's not true. He gave one talent. He gave another two talents. He gave another five talents. In proportion to their ability, he gave to what they could handle without profaning the name of Jesus, to what they could handle and give glory unto God out of intimacy and out of relationship, giving him all the glory. God bless the big churches. God bless the small ones. God bless his people. And may we take what God has given us and use it for his glory. This measuring line that people use has brought a stumbling block to many people. And Paul addressed this issue when he said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to read that to you because the point I'm trying to make here is you are not someone else. God has equipped you with just what you need to fulfill your purpose. You have everything that you need to do what God has called you to do. You don't have to be like someone else. Don't compare yourself to other people. Accept what God has given you. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first verse, and it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk and not with solid food because you weren't ready for anything stronger and you're still not ready. For number one, you are still controlled by your sinful nature. Number two, you are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. And doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world when one of you says, 'I'm a follower of Paul,' and another says, 'Well, I'm a follower of Apollos'? Aren't you acting just like people of the world? After all, who is Apollos and who is Paul? We are only God's servants. We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work that the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your heart, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. Because of the grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that we have already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through the walls of a flame. So this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. No doubt Paul is referring back to these words of Jesus when he's talking about, don't compare yourself with others. I have this ability that God has given me to do, to sow the seed, the word of God. And another person comes along and they water that seed, maybe with an example from their own life, maybe with a prophecy, maybe with a word of knowledge. And they come along. But we're not to lift up men any greater than God. Jesus is to be exalted. And so he entrusts us here with these talents and with these abilities so that we can do the work of God in the earth. And there's a warning attached that anything that's not done out of a pure heart and out of a pure motive will be burned up. That's why it's always important to do a self-exam. Ask yourself questions. Why am I doing this? Am I doing it to gain attention from other people? Or am I doing this at the promptings of the Spirit, out of that person's need, out of seeing a need and responding to it? Am I giving this word of knowledge by the Spirit, or am I trying to impress men? And always examine your motives and be led by the Holy Spirit. He says, I've given you gifts. I've given you talents. Those were meant to be dispersed to other people. They were meant to show Christ lives in you and you live in Christ. And so, another point we want to make is we cannot make excuses as to why we can't fulfill the purpose. To those who use their gifts and talents, as he mentioned here, whether it be 5 talents or 2 talents, they're using the giftings and the callings in their heart and their life, and they're helping other people to know Jesus and to grow. And to see what the kingdom of God is like and what the king is like. The fruits and the giftings are flowing through them. He's saying, I'm telling you, in the end, when you stand before me, there's a reward. You see, we don't talk about rewards a lot, but God is a rewarder. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God because you must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He gives rewards to his people. He gives rewards. And so to those who are using their gifts and their talents to build up others and to help people know Jesus even greater, they're flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They're using the resources to help other people. They're following the leadings and the promptings of the Spirit. And their heart is filled with God, so they're compassionate to others, and they're moving in that vein. then God says, I see that. I'll give you a reward. But then we have this last servant. He was given the smallest amount, but remember, it was God's resources that were given to him, and he was giving him in proportion to his abilities. So God is very fair. He's giving the resources to start with, and then he's saying, I'm giving you in proportion to your abilities. But listen to what he did. And likewise, he who had received the one talent went and dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. And then verse 19 says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle his accounts. This one who had the smallest amount, yet it was in proportion to his abilities, went and hid his money and his talent in the ground. He didn't use that to help people. He didn't use that to further the gospel. He didn't use that to minister to others. He took what he had, and out of his own selfish motivation, he hid it. He then turns around and blames God. He says, oh, you're hard. You are a hard God. You're asking me to do things that I can't do. You're asking me to reap a harvest in an area that is difficult. You're a hard master. What you've asked me to do is impossible, and I'm not going to do it. What I'm going to do is go hide my talent and hide myself in the ground. I'm not going to do what you put me here on the earth to do. I'm just going to go live my life, and I'm not going to be the light and the salt that you've called me to be, nor am I going to use any gifts or talents that you gave me, God. I'm just going to take myself and live my own life, and I'm going to hide myself away from the things of God. I'm not going to even acknowledge that they're there, and I'm just going to live it. I'm going to hide it, and I'm just going to put it in the ground. He blames God for being hard. He blames God. He makes excuses why he cannot fulfill the purposes of God's heart. God put you here in this time, the year 2020 and beyond, as long as you're here on the earth. He put you here. He put you in the church. He wants you to attend. He put you in the home he wants you to have. He put you in the location that you're supposed to make influence. He gave you the job that you have. He called you into the position or the school that you're attending. God is very strategic. He pours out his salt shaker in the earth. He's very strategic about why you're here and the purposes to which you're here and the seasons and the times. And he knows what states you're supposed to be living in, what house, what neighborhood, the influences that you're supposed to make. And he gave you the Holy Spirit and the gifts and the fruit so that you can make a difference in the world that you're in. This man is turning and looking at God and saying, I can't do what you've put me here to do. That's a scary thing. And I'm just going to say that on Judgment Day, it's not going to fly. It's not going to fly. God is not going to accept that. Paul said this, what do you have that God has not given you first? Everything that we have comes from God. Everything. Our breath, our mind, our ability to think, our resources, everything that we have has come from the Creator who gave it. And unto the Creator it will return. That's why the Bible says, from dust you are, and from dust you shall return, and your works do follow. He says, I gave you an ability, and you're telling me that I'm a hard master. That I'm a hard person. You're looking at me and blaming you for your laziness, your apathy, your inability to be able to do your part because you just simply did not want to and you did not recognize your calling, your giftings, your talents, your abilities, and use them for the glory of God. He goes, it would have been better that you took what I had and put it in the ground and or put it in the bank. And at least I would have got interest from it. That's some financial wisdom, isn't it, from the Lord? If you're not going to spend the money you have wisely, at least put it somewhere where it's going to gain interest for the Lord. In other words, sow a good seed into a ministry that it will produce a good harvest. He who had received the one talent said, you're a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you had not winnowed the grain. And so I was afraid. And let me just say that that fear comes from lack of relationship. In 1 John it says, perfect love casteth out all fear. Because when you fear, you feel that you're going to be punished. But when you have a relationship with God, and when you know that God loves you, when he spared no expense, even the death and of his own son, when you know that love, and some of you are still learning it, and I'm still learning it, and Paul said it's hard to fathom the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, the depth and the length and the breadth and the height of it, but he prayed that you would know it, and I would know it too. And I pray that for you today, that you know that God loves you, that he went to great expense, even the loss of his own son, and having to raise him up from the dead so that you could know God the Father. You can only know him through Jesus. You can only know him through the blood. And I've got to say this because many people think, well, I've done all these great things. On the flip side of this, and I'm a good person. There is not a single person that has not sinned against God. Not a single person that hasn't thought an evil thought. To hate is to murder as far as God is concerned. To look upon a woman to lust is adultery. There are no good people. You want to show me your deeds sometimes and say, look what I've done. But if you've done it without the Spirit of the Lord and out of the right heart and the right motives, it's all going to be revealed on the day of judgment. It's all going to be exposed then. He absolutely comes to this man who did not have a relationship with him. He said, I went and I hid that talent in the ground, and here, you can have what's yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and lazy and idle servant. He wasn't willing to put his hand to the plow. Jesus said, anybody that lays their hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has suffered violence, and it is the violent men and women of God that take the kingdom of God by force and implement it by faith. He said, you're lazy. I gave it to you. You didn't even have to work to earn that gift or that ability. I gave it to you. You may be able to enhance it. You may be able to cause it to increase in your life by studying or by whatever. But I gave it to you. It came from God. What did you do with what I gave you? He says, I was scared of you. Lack of relationship. Lack of knowledge of who God is. Lack of intimacy. Everything comes down to whether we are intimate with our God. It all comes down to intimacy with God through Christ. It all comes down to fellowship time. Time spent with him. time in His presence, time in His Word. We can give lots of time to things, and this world is always going to be pressuring you for time. The enemy is always going to be coming and saying to you, you need to do the laundry. You need to go to work. You don't get up an hour early. You're tired. You need your rest. Don't spend time with God and pray and get up early. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Do that. Always, continuously. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Have you ever noticed that when you just want to spend time with God, the dog barks or something happens? You know, the phone rings and, the Lord told me, take your phone out of your prayer room. It's a distraction to me. Rebecca, take your phone out of your prayer room. It's a distraction to me. I want you. I want your undivided attention. Come to me. Let me talk to you. Let me take away fear and anxiety. Let me soothe your heart and your mind. Let me speak to you the wooings and the words of God. Let me give you your next assignment. Let me tell you what I want you to do today in the name of Jesus that's going to be a benefit to others. These gifts and talents are from God to you. They will benefit you in that in doing the will of God. There is great joy, but they are for other people. They're for others. And we know that by how Jesus finishes this chapter. If you've done this to other people, you've done this to me. If you've blessed somebody in my name, it was me. It was me. What are you doing with what you have? Because in the end, when you stand before God and give an account, the words, "You're too hard, God," are not going to cut it. "The task was too difficult for me. I gave you in proportion to your ability," the Lord will say. Do you know how many people have walked away from the ministry right now? Do you know how many people have the gift of revelation and they won't share it? Do you know how many people have a word of knowledge for someone and they hold it in because of fear? Do you know how many people have a resource that they could give someone to help them and they won't? It's not just natural things. Jesus uses illustrations of the natural water for someone thirsty. I think of my dear Marcia, and she sees someone beside the road laying in a sheet. And driving down, seeing a human body laying in a sheet in Charleston. And I think of her heart. She's like, "Not on my watch." She turns around. She goes back. How many would do that? She turns around. She goes back. She keeps water in her car for people. The woman had been in the hospital. Obviously, there was a problem in her life. No place to go. She wraps up in the sheet of the hospital bed and goes out and really to die alongside the road. And Marcia stops. She calls the police. She gives her water to drink. She'd been there for 3 days, 2 or 3 days. How many would do that? You see these videos where people are getting beat up and raped right there in the street or robbed, and people just walk on by like it's just another day in paradise or something. He said, "Marcia, you did that for me. You'll get your reward." It's a cruel world, people. We have taken God's beautiful world, and out of the sinfulness of our heart, We have poisoned humanity and poisoned our world. But we, being His people, whom He has gifted and entrusted in this time, with His abilities through the Spirit and with natural bodies to be able to flow through, we are the salt and the light of the world. We are beacons shining in the midst of darkness. And whenever you do a deed as the Spirit has moved on your heart and prompted you and your conscience has been pricked and you move in that direction, all of a sudden you may not even see it in the natural. The orb of God, the light of God inside of you is radiant on you. And the Lord says, that one's mine. Her reward is with me. He said, you should have invested at least my money with the bankers, and at my coming, because I am coming, because all men will stand before me, because all men and women and everybody that has ever been born since the beginning of time will stand before me and give an account for their life, because I'm coming, I may be delayed, I may not be coming when you think, it may be 1 minute before midnight. It may be late in the midnight hour because I'm coming. I will give the reward. And you will receive what is due you, whether good or bad. So take that talent that I gave this one, who never used it, and give it to the one who did use it, because they will cause it to multiply. They will cause it to increase. I'm going to take away from this one who isn't doing what I called them to do and isn't using the giftings and the talents for my glory and my purpose, and I'm going to give it to somebody who will. Take their talents away from them and give it to the one that has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, because I can trust that servant with more. You say, why do I see some people have so much and some people don't? Well, number one, each person is given what they're able to handle. But sometimes the person who buries theirs, God takes what's of theirs and gives it to another who will use it even more, because they won't. And he will be furnished richly so that he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Losing the reward, losing the gift, losing the talent, losing the resources because they refuse to use them for God's glory. And losing the eternal reward. You say, I don't really know what the eternal reward. Eye is not seen. Nor ear is heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men all the things that God has made ready for His people. I cannot put into words, even if I had great vocabulary, I couldn't put into words what God has prepared and made ready for His people. I couldn't express it. I couldn't paint a picture beautiful enough. I couldn't eloquently speak it enough. I'm telling you what God has for His people. Eye has not seen it on this earth, and ear has not heard of the magnificence of what God is going to bless His people with. And then this is the part, and remember, I'm telling you, these words were spoken to his disciples, his people. Throw that good-for-nothing servant. This is from Jesus Christ himself. These are the words of Jesus into outer darkness where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. You know why? Because some people call themselves Christians, but they're not. They're Christians in word only, but not in deed. The deeds are never manifested. The gifts and the fruit of God's character and nature are never manifested in their life. You never see them. They say they're Christian. They may attend church every Sunday, but then you never see the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. They are smoke and vapors. They're not the real thing. They've never been changed from the inside out. And he says, you take that servant and you throw them into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. And my people, that is hell. Whenever Jesus used that type of language, he's talking about hell. When you stand before Christ and you have not allowed the Lord to take possession of you and to transform you. And yes, that does take time. And even up until the day of the end, they'll still need things done in me. But I'm cooperating with the Spirit, and I'm willing to be honest with God, and I'm willing to be transparent with the Lord, and I'm willing to allow Him to do the work that needs to be done. And I'm following His lead. And if I sin, I get right back into relationship with Him because I confess my sins. And He said, I'll be faithful to forgive you if you confess your sins. But for these that are walking around and they are living sinful lives, and they're living in habitual sin, and they're in perversions of all kind, and they're saying, and this is the damnable heresy that's going around in the church, that you can live however you want to and God don't care because His blood and His grace is sufficient. That is a lie. It is a heresy. It is a truth taken to an extreme. It is out of context with the Scripture. It is not in alignment with the Word of God. Because then what are you going to do with Hebrews when he tells you that those who habitually sin and continue on in their sin, even though they may have tasted of the Spirit and known the Word of God and the great things of God, and yet they turned away from God, he goes, there is no more sacrifice. They have trampled the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine standing before the Almighty God and saying, I know at one time I spoke in tongues. I know at one time I did your will. When I was 12, I accepted you as my Savior, and he says, depart from me. I don't even know you. And not only that, but the blood of Jesus Christ that you said that you had received, you have misappropriated it. Oh my God. I tell you what, the lion has roared, and who should not be afraid? We should be afraid. There should be a reverence in our understanding of Jesus Christ. For though he is loving and patient and kind, God has done everything that needs to be done in order for us to have salvation. And our heart is to get an agreement with God and to come under his authority. We have to be led by his Spirit and guided by his sovereignty. His word is his truth. We will be judged by his word. Don't tell me you can live in that sinful life. You can have affairs, look at pornography all the time, indulge in homosexuality, bestiality, child molestation, which is now coming out all over the nation, that pedophilia is they're wanting pedophilia to become a part of this nation's culture. Not only do we murder our unborn, but now we want to have sex with our own children. It's disgusting. Oh, I tell you, that's what hell was made for. I am here to tell you that we need to repent of the sins that we have passively accepted in our culture and in the church and in our own lives. Maybe that's too strong for some of you. Maybe you can't handle that, but I'm going to tell you, I may be saving your life because he says there will be a judgment day and hell will be waiting for those who had the grace of God upon their life, who had abilities and talents, who knew what it was like to have a relationship with God, who turned and walked away from that, who said, I'm just going to bury all that in the ground and live however I want. I'm telling you, Jesus is telling us right now, nobody talked more about heaven and hell than Jesus. It's a serious business. You say, oh, that's a little bit too serious for me. May it shake you out of your apathy. The king is coming. He may be long in coming, but he's coming. Don't doubt it. I'm going to finish this on a positive note. My heart is not that people would go to hell, but we have got to quit playing games with God. It is not my heart. But I must give you the warnings, and I must tell you that hell is real, and people are going there. It was a sign for the devil and his angels. But remember, this servant made the choice. Jesus says, give what that one will not use to someone who will use it for the glory of God. And then he goes on to talk about how he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to separate them. In the end, he's going to separate those who acted or said or rejected Christ. They acted like they were Christians, but they weren't. They were word only. He's going to separate, and let me tell you, he can do a beautiful job because he knows the hearts of all men. You'll never have to wonder, will God be just and fair on the day of judgment? He is always just and fair. You may not understand his ways, but he is a good God. He says, I will give a reward. I'm going to separate the sheep from the goat. And I'm going to tell you who's going to be blessed. The one who gave. The one who used what I gave them to better humanity. To make the world a better place. To cause those people to look to Jesus. I'm not talking about pointing them to yourself. I'm talking about you did what you did to give glory to God. Because you cared about people. He said, if you've done this to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. It's me you gave that water to, Marcia. It was a woman, but it was me. It was me you gave those clothes to. It was me that you visited in prison. It was me, he says. I am telling you, I am keeping an account of the good that you did in my name. And for those who did not use the gifts and the talents and the purposes to which I created you for the glory of God, you'll be judged. We'll all be judged, and he will give an appropriate reward, because he knows. So be careful. Ephesians 5:15 says this, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can just read that right there and see, oh, he's talking about the five virgins that have the extra oil. Oh, he's talking about, you know, we can just look back. The teachings of the apostles and the disciples were from Jesus. Revelation given to them from God through Christ. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Be careful what you're doing with your life. There's an eternal reward. We will give an account for our life. It is time to talk more about the return of Jesus. It's time always and every day to be prepared for Christ, but for some reason, we got a little bit too settled here, and we put aside the fact that Jesus could return at any time. And that our lives must be lived in preparation of that thought on a continual basis. And with it, we'll always be operating in the Spirit and giving out of ourselves to other people. Yes, all things in balance and moderation. God will lead you to what you are to do. Care for your family. Don't turn away people in your own household. Be balanced. But know that the Lord is going to return. Exterior Christianity, that in word only, will be exposed on the day of judgment. But sincere hearts who gave their life, and let me tell you, there are people that you don't even know that have done more for the kingdom. You don't even know their names. But God knows them. God says, I put life in you so that you would know God and fulfill your purpose on the earth. And nothing's going to give you greater joy than that. What you do here or don't do, and depending on the motive of your heart, will have eternal implications. And I pray with all my heart that if you are backslidden and you're listening to this, and I feel like I just feel over and over again this heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching feeling in my heart about those who have walked away from ministry, walked away from the callings of God, walked away from serving the Lord. They got offended. They got their feelings hurt. A man abused them. But then they allowed bitterness, and the enemy came on top of that bitterness and on top of that accusation, and he began to cause them to turn their hearts away from Jesus. And I think all the loss of that soul because they've allowed the enemy to win in that situation. If you are listening to the sound of my voice and you have walked away from the callings of God and the purposes of God and even the relationship that we're to have with Christ Jesus, please come back. If you do not know Jesus, if you've heard about him, but you've never confessed your sin, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God is apprehending you right now at this very moment. Because unless the Holy Spirit apprehends your heart, you won't even come to God. But I pray that the Spirit, and I know that he will, he's speaking to you right now, wherever you are, and he's saying, give your life to me, and I will change it and bring you into the whole purpose to which I created you and put you here on the earth. I have a destiny. You have a destiny in Jesus. Come to him. Confess your sins. Turn away from pride and arrogance. Turn away and come to Christ. Come to Jesus and be saved. Have eternal life. This world is passing. Everything in it will pass away with great heat. Come. Come to the Lord. Come to know him as Savior. I pray that today in Jesus' name, I want everybody within the sound of my voice to come to the Lord. I don't want any person to be lost. I don't want any person to not know the love of God that is in Christ. Please, please, please come to the Lord and be saved. Come to Jesus and live. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And amen. And amen. Amen.